I'm good. I hope everyone there is great as well. It's a great day to be in the Army, Hope. In 1984, I think most people who joined the Army or any branch of military at the time were looking for a greater opportunity of life, whether it be education or leadership experience. I grew up in southern West Virginia, so if you weren't a coal miner in the mid-1980s, you probably didn't have a bright future ahead of you as far as any type of income. So it was an opportunity for most of us that were able to join the military, go out, seek greater opportunities, look for a way to get our education and our college paid for, and then hopefully after a successful enlistment, try to find something in the private sector. It was kind of funny because back then I had aspiration to go be a school teacher in the secondary school system at the time, but that was it for me then in 1984. Well, since the mid-1990s, I was in the engineer field, basically. I've been serving in the engineer field. Of course, the last 12 years or so, 10 or 12 years, I guess, basically, has been focused on leadership based on senior grade assignments. But I would have to say, the days clearly of when I served in the combat arms side of the house as an artilleryman, those were great times. But my greatest assignment opportunity was being a company first sergeant at the 955th Engineer Company in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. I would say, that the early on years of being out in the field as a engineer in a company element were probably the highlight of my 31 years. Well, I think it's a great question, and I will tell you that as I go out and do battlefield circulation across the field, I remind soldiers all the time, that less than 1% of the force ever chooses to don the uniform to be in the military. So when we look at what an Army Reserve soldier does today, for the fact that they have a family, they work a full-time job, maybe they're working a part-time job and going to college, or working a full-time job and going to college, when you look at all those responsibilities that we have, of our soldiers out there on their backs every day, day in and day out, whether they're, doing blue collar or construction, whatever in the industry, maybe they're doctors, maybe they're attorneys, whatever. And then they bring that skill set over to the green suit side as far as being able to, put on their uniform, be a squad leader, be a platoon sergeant, first sergeant, CSM, or commander, or hold a primary staff job. I think that speaks volumes. So when we talk about the commitment to this nation and we talk about, what each individual can do in support of our nation, truly twice a citizen, I think, is a great reflection as to what our soldiers really represent as to what they give to this country. So that's how I see it. That's how I would actually reflect the goodness in our slogan. Well, I got to tell you, we've got a brand new commanding general and chief of the Army Reserve, and he assumes the job with extreme energy, dedication, and absolute conviction as a leader. I think he's on top of things, and I think if we can get leaders to take a step back and look at, his focus as far as energy and execution and leadership and how that will actually drive the force going forward. And I think he's on point when we talk about the idea that resources is not what makes soldiers ready going forward. Leaders are the primary component of how we are able to source readiness as far as how we plan events and get at it. So I think the key thing is to really focus on those things as to why soldiers join the program to begin with, why they raise their right hand to be an American soldier, and then to make sure along the way that we give them plenty of buy-in and opportunity of ownership to where their ideas make a difference in how we can actually use their skills, whether it's from the private sector or otherwise, to be able to bring it to the fight and to be able to shape our units going forward. And I think if we do that, we'll have an extreme ready, combat-ready Army Reserve. Well, number one, I lean on the Army Reserve Communications and our Public Affairs Office as a very key and intricate part of everything I do on a daily basis. I think when we look at who our soldiers are today and how they embrace social media, we have to understand that, you know, that is really the lifeline as to how we get communication out to our soldiers and make sure that they understand all the nuances of change as far as, you know, whether it's regulatory or policy, or, you know, maybe there's something on high coming down regarding a good example, I guess, would be with the transgender population and things like that. You know, so I think that's a key point in understanding that, you know, the world has changed and evolved, so social media brings a key point on, you know, how we do business going forward. But I also think there's a lot of things that has changed at a rapid pace, just as you use it as an example. So when we look at the 46 Quebec and the 46 Romeo series and how you guys are all integrating, you know, I think that's just one facet of how we have many opportunities for different CMS to merge, and things will change as resources become you know, more constrained going forward. So having you guys to be able to convey the message and be able to show, I think, the effects of success among our units that are out there doing more with less out in the field, I think is a good news story. And I think that gives confidence to our soldiers across the force that, you know, this is a worthwhile cause and we need to continue to fight and give it all we have. Absolutely. So what I would tell you first is make sure I get an invite, or my office gets an invite, to get out to see Exercise Newsday and to come out to the station there, because I think you guys are in Indiana, is that right? Is that where you're operating from? We'd love an invite and to know the exact dates and times to get out there to be a part of what you guys are doing. It's a great opportunity. But as I get out and I see soldiers as I'm out and about at the exercises, whether it's a WarX or CSTX or the DoD Warriors recently or the Army Reserve Best Warrior Competition, you know, as I flip through social media and see all of our websites and all the things going on across the Army Reserve, absolutely, I think you guys are some of the best and brightest that we have around the globe, and you're doing great work. I just ask you to keep it up and really continue to tell the story of every Army Reserve soldier we have out there. You know, I'm big on the fact is that, you know, we're a diverse population, and we need to make sure that we tell our stories, you know, and we need to talk to our soldiers to find out, you know, what were their stories or their moments in life where maybe they were struggling and how they've overcome those obstacles. How did they achieve their points of success and things like that in life? And we make sure that we share those stories across the Army Reserve, and I think by doing that, we continue to grow a healthy force. So I appreciate everything you guys do, absolutely. Yeah, so I've kind of tried to, you know, really put that into perspective, and the thing is you know, when we use the terminology of change in military, it's just like it's been a constant for us. In fact, then I go back and look at what we looked like in the mid-1980s compared to where we're at, it's just absolutely, it's been a focus point of how do we change, whether it's daily or whatever. But I think the one thing that's been the greatest driving impact or factor has been the impact of technology, and that's hit us in a lot of ways. So many ways have been good, but with technology also, you know, a lot of the components and a lot of the systems that we use for our military today cost a lot more, you know. I mean, so when we're looking at a lot of the equipment that we would deploy to go to war with today, you know, it's probably three or four times the cost of what something was 30 years ago. So you can't buy as many, you know, so you have to look to make sure that we are able to buy things that are efficient but effective. And I think the whole idea of technology has had a greater focus on our military, to include even, you know, if you look at how we do our professional military education today, you know, we've got all these distributive learning courses where, you know, we have people across the force that want to go to school, get educated, but yet they complain because they have to sit at home or at their civilian jobs, and they're trying to figure out how they work all of this education in from the techno standpoint because it's distributive learning. So I think, you know, there's been some challenges with that, but I think there's a lot of goodness in it. So I think there's good and bad, and it's a matter of how we accept it going forward. But I would contribute our biggest change to technology and the impact of technology over the last 31 years. Well, we're a needs-based society, so, you know, we have a tendency to learn based upon the ability, you know, or when it comes to a need point. So like most people, unless you have a direct interest or maybe an impact of time, you really don't embrace a lot of the technological changes that we've had out there. So, you know, I think on a lower level, yeah, I've probably embraced a lot of it, but then there's a lot of it still, I would say, to this day that I'm challenged with, that I, you know, continually look for ways to grow and to pick, you know, a lot of this up. But I think a lot of it, too, is understanding where I'm at, you know, as being at the top of the spear, to understand that, you know, I have to be on my toes regarding technology to a point. You know, having kids helps, I will tell you that, you know, in today's day and age. I mean, you know, our young teenagers know more about computers and technology than we'll. So I will tell you, we still have a lot of folks out there who do not embrace technology. You know, there's so many ways that we could probably effectively create group texts and things like that as a squad leader or a platoon sergeant, and be so much more efficient, I think, to be able to stay in touch, you know, from a first line leader point of view, that we still can't get people to embrace. And you know, that's probably some of our challenge today. And if we could do that, it wouldn't be a matter of looking back and saying, here's how we used to do it, you know, and how good things were 30 years ago, but how much better it is today, because we have embraced technology and leverage those assets, if you will. Well, I think the key thing for our Army Reserve soldiers, and this is critical, because I think understanding that we've got folks who have served on the AC side or the Army National Guard who want to continue to serve, and being a member of a profession such as the Army Reserve that continues to give our soldiers opportunities as leaders, professional military education that they can actually use as experience and growth in the private sector. And then the key thing is, I think, is we continually to morph or to change with transition of need based upon lack of resources and things like that. You know, a young soldier can come into the Army Reserve today, and basically, as long as they've got the will and the commitment, they can do anything they want to do, really, or be anything they want to be. So they can go become a warrant officer, they can go be a commissioned officer, you know, future commanders and things like that. So, or maybe the CSM of the Army Reserve. So I encourage soldiers to reach out and make sure that they don't throw away the opportunity to be a part of the greatest professional force in the world. And that would be my message to the folks out there as being a member of the Army Reserve. My pleasure. I appreciate all the work that you guys give and do for our great nation, and continue to do, and we'll see you soon.